Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everybody, Karun Chandler back from the Hungarian Grand Prix, where it was boiling, boiling hot. It was, the weekend started off with thunderstorms on Thursday and Wednesday. But as the weekend went along, it got hotter and hotter and hotter. And eventually, track temperatures were even into the low 50s at one point. So it was an absolutely scorching weekend. Plenty to talk about, despite the fact that the race wasn't particularly interesting. But there were lots of stories all the way up and down the pit lane. Once again, on a track where dirty downforce is important, Ferrari come to the fore. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, it's when a team aims for a high amount of downforce without a real penalty for drag, without considering a penalty for drag, because there aren't really any long straights. So they, they've really, really managed to suss that out. I think the car's producing a really good amount of downforce, and it's a straight line speed that they need to address. If we look at the trend here, Monaco, they were particularly strong. Here, they were very strong. And then when you conversely look at tracks like Silverstone, Baku, even Montreal, to be honest, the Ferraris couldn't really challenge the Mercedes cars. And it really, I'll be interested to see during this summer break that we've got, whether they work on efficiency of the chassis, or just outright power from the power unit in terms of the IC and the ERS side as well. So I think there's a lot of interesting stuff for Ferrari to analyze, because there's a clear trend here that when there's a circuit which requires a high amount of downforce, lots of corners, one into the other, the Ferrari is right there, and if anything, quicker than the Mercedes. Vettel's lap in qualifying was really pretty special. And actually, in the end, Kimi's final run was very good as well. He made a bit of a mistake coming into the chicane, missed the apex of the first bar, and that compromised him. So, I think there's probably a little bit of time lost there. And ultimately, it was within a tenth and a half. I thought, once again, on a track, a bit like Sochi and Monaco, where the Mercedes wasn't maybe at its best, and actually Sochi was another track where, let's not forget, Ferrari outperformed Mercedes, which it sort of counters my previous point, because actually it's quite a bit of straight line speed. But anyway, it's a long while ago now, and the cars have updated a lot. But my point here is that Sochi, Monaco, and here in Budapest, we've gone to three races where the Mercedes wasn't a particularly easy car to drive. It looked really edgy, and Lewis struggled to put a lap together in FP2, FP3, or qualifying, and he didn't really seem comfortable. And neither did Valtteri. Both drivers didn't seem particularly happy. But ultimately, it seemed like it was Valtteri who was able to find that compromise a bit better when it came to qualifying. And, perhaps Lewis just slightly overdriving it, and that's something that we've talked about before. Come the race, the track rubbers up, the track gets grippier, and it's, the weekend starts to come back towards Hamilton. And this is something we saw in Baku as well. So I think, certainly in terms of qualifying pace, Valtteri seemed to have the upper hand. Red Bull were pretty disappointed, I think, with the way the race went. And, qualifying, they know they haven't got those extra engine modes. They can't really extract the power they need. But they were in the hunt, and really going into the circuit on Sunday morning, I was keen to see how those top three teams would play out, because it was a clear one-stop race. But when it came to undercuts or things like that, they would have all had to watch each other, because actually for the first time in a long time, the race pace amongst the top three teams was all very similar on Friday. So that was a shame what happened to the two Red Bulls. I might as well talk about that. Max just over-exuberance, got carried away trying to clear as many cars as possible after running wide and losing out. And Daniel chose his words wisely. I think the exact words were "so loser" or "so beep 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 loser." So Max has come out, apologized, and it's a good thing. I think they got the summer break to cool off and move on from here. But it is a real shame, because I think if you look at it, where Vettel held the pack back, and if you look and the top four pace therefore wasn't great, Max actually ended up only 13 or so seconds behind the winner after serving a 10-second penalty. So if they had had a normal race, and if Ricciardo had also been in there, I think we might have seen somebody try an aggressive two-stop. We might have seen different strategies up and down, which may have affected all the way, all through the top six. So I think it's a shame for the race on the whole that the two Red Bulls ended up colliding, or Max basically drove into Daniel. Up at the front, for Sebastian, psychologically as a driver, it must be really tricky. I know it's really tricky when you know you've got an issue, but you don't know exactly what's caused it and if it's going to get worse. So, the team were telling him to stay off curbs. Obviously, you could see him, even on the onboard, the steering was off-center, and he was having to steer to sort of counter it down the straight, which actually creates a bit of rolling resistance as well, so would have compromised him. But psychologically, it hurts you because you're nervous and you're just counting down the laps and praying that it all holds together. Budapest is a track where you have to use the curbs. You have to be able to, at the chicanes and the mid sector of the lap, all those change of directions, you have to be able to ride the curbs to get the right line. And if you go slightly offline on the dust, you just dump lap time. So really, it must have been a very edgy race for him in terms of the nerves. But he got there. Kimi, sort of was quicker, but couldn't get past. And it's a shame, because I think if he was, I wonder if there was a little bit of team orders involved there, because, Seb pitted, Kimi stayed out and did a mega lap when Seb was in, coming out of the pits. So Kimi clearly was happy to stay out for a couple more laps, but Ferrari opted to call him in. Obviously, they'd seen the Mercedes guys had gone to new tyres. They didn't want to get undercut by the Mercedes guys, but I think equally, they didn't want Kimi to do an overcut on Seb, because Kimi's pace was still good, and there was a risk that he could get out ahead of Seb, and that, while it would have been good for Kimi, it wasn't very good for the World Championship battle. Let's be honest, Ferrari have now, I think, backed one horse. They've chosen their man, and they're pushing Seb in this World Championship battle against the two Mercedes guys. On the other side, Mercedes, we saw a lot of team order stuff going on there. And I was really not sure Lewis would give that pace up. I was pretty sure he would just run to the flag. Because in fairness, Valtteri had dropped back nearly 5 seconds, which is, a long way back. But people at Mercedes after the race said to me, sort of off the record, that they think this is a good investment from Lewis for the future. He's sort of bought Valtteri's loyalty. He's shown the 1,200 people at Brackley and Brixworth that he's a team player. That's important. I think he's bought a lot of loyalty. And who knows, come the World Championship battle in Abu Dhabi, there could be one of two things. Either he'll lose the championship by less than 3 points, in which case he'll regret having done this, or he'll need Valtteri at some stage towards the end of the season to switch positions with him, in which case he'll be thankful for what he did here. So I think we'll only see the repercussions when we get down towards the end of the season in sort of November time. But fascinating stuff. It was really a plot within a plot to see how that unfolded. A couple other mentions. Nico Hülkenberg, great job again in qualifying. Real shame for him with the gearbox penalty, then the issue in the pit stop, because otherwise I think he was on for sort of 6th or 7th place. Renault have shown now 2 weekends, 2 races in a row, Silverstone and Budapest, 2 very different circuits, that they've got a car genuinely capable of being in the top eight, and that is a huge, huge encouragement for Enstone. I'm interested to see what happens with that Palmer seat for the rest of the year, because the rumors are flying all over the place about Kubica, about Sirotkin, Palmer fighting his corner to stay. So I think that's all going to be interesting to follow through the summer break. And also, I think a big shout out to McLaren. Stoffel Vandoorne has really, really come on, I thought, in Silverstone and Budapest. He's finally unlocked that potential that we all know he's got. You know, for all through the season, I've been saying, and if you even listen to podcasts I did last year and stuff, that I always thought Vandoorne could be the best talent to arrive in F1 since Verstappen, but before that, since Lewis, really. I think he is a very special talent, and I'm now interested to see how he's developing. I think he's been working really hard on his driving. He gets along well with his engineer, Tom Stallard, and I think they've made great progress. So a big shout out to Vandoorne, and obviously Fernando. You've run out of adjectives to describe how amazing he is, but solid points, best of the rest, really maximized a weekend where McLaren were going to have their best ever result. Anyway, off to the summer break. I'm off to Madras to see my family tomorrow, spend a bit of time, see the dog, which will be great. And we'll join you all in Spa in a month's time. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.